Hello, and welcome to the DD&D, now PK, podcast. Originally, this podcast was David Ray's idea, and because we are freedom fighters, off-gridders, survivalists, alternative health, medicine men, and things of the like, our podcast was originally about these type of subjects, that and alternative thinking. We study like theology and philosophy and all kinds of stuff. You name it, we probably have looked into it, you know, as long as it's something educational and not really fictional. However, the podcast kind of died off. Nobody was calling in anymore, and not even the co-hosts, not even David Ray. I was the only one calling in anymore, and so it just kind of died out. But in May, we started playing this game called Parallel Kingdoms. We signed up to the game because, well, David Ray found it, and we signed up to the game mostly because it was location-based. If your GPS locator was working right, when you signed up for the game, it basically placed you in the game where you were physically in real life. Let's see here. I started playing. Look up my character. I got trees to tend. I started playing May 26th of 2016. I've only been playing for 127 days. Anyhow, so we signed up because it was location-based, and it put you in the game where you were in real life. you know, you sign up using your phone. I don't know if you can sign up using the computer or not. We signed up using the phone. So it was location-based. He told me about it. I thought, hey, you know, this would be a good way to kind of network with locals who are playing the game. So that's why I signed up. And it's medieval. You know, you go around fighting dragons and trolls and little alien bug creatures. Well, I don't know if they're bugs. David Ray thought they were bugs. Alien trodents, basically. Trodents, whatever they're called. Spiders, wolves, werewolves, you know, whatever. Of course, we didn't know you could fight each other. And we didn't know there was evil players in the game that will kill you and burn your stuff and the whole nine yards. So you got to watch out for that, too. It's almost, you know, it's almost like real life, you know. You got your projects and whatnot that you do. But then again, you got to watch out for, you know, humans, too, because there's good humans and there's bad humans. So, yeah. Anyways, so we signed up mostly to network with locals. I did. I don't know about David. But we ended up getting addicted to the game. Signing up to network with locals worked out because pretty much some of the locals that we met in the game pretty much flagged the whole area that we actually live in. Not all of it, but pretty much all of it. And one of them was the mayor of Eldo, which is basically the nearest city to where we live. So the game automatically made that our city and placed us there. There's a couple other people I met in the game too, but we ended up joining their kingdom, and they've been playing the game for eight years like some people, but for quite a while, you know. They're all maxed out. I mean, they're like very powerful players. You can't get much more powerful than they are. And so, yeah, they've been playing forever. So we bumped into some really cool people. I mean, they're actually really cool people in real life, and they're really cool people in the game, very powerful people in the game. So being noobs and having to watch out for evil players, you know, killing you and burning your stuff and, you know, whatever, destroying everything that you work for, maybe not everything, but, you know, depending on what it is. It lucked out that we bumped into some powerful players and became friends with them. Well, anyways, our podcast ended up dying off. So last month, we were talking about, yeah, well, when we got on the podcast, we pretty much only started talking about Parallel Kingdoms. We talked about other things too, but nonetheless, Parallel Kingdom kind of became an addiction for us. We're on it almost every day, unless we get kicked out. You know, there was a major war going on between several kingdoms, and kept crashing the server, and we kept getting kicked out, or locked out, whatever you want to call it. Of course, our kingdom is in a very secluded, remote location at the edge of the world. And I think that was part of the problem, because every time I got locked out, it was because I was trying to warp to the kingdom. And I think I had too many things on the market, you know, because I play the market. They got trading hubs, and you buy, sell, and trade. Well, not really trade, buy and sell through the hub. And so I play the market a lot, or used to. That's how I ended up becoming so wealthy and powerful in such a short time, besides the fact that Jazz 13 gave me some really cool weapons and armor. He didn't really level them up, but, you know, he gave me dead metal, spear, poison crossbow, and poison armor. And then it was my responsibility to level them up, which I did. Then later I upgraded my crossbow to a dead metal crossbow. And I was working on getting a huntsman's hat, so because I was looking like Robin Hood. And I'm kind of like a Robin Hood, so I was working on getting a huntsman's hat. And then I found out that there's a huntsman armor also, so I thought about even getting that. But I haven't been able to progress to that level. And now, PK, after we started announcing that we were turning our podcast into a PK podcast. Last night, PK announced that they're shutting down and they're only going to be up and running for one more month, which is kind of depressing because I was really starting to get addicted to the game. I'm just, you know, I don't know. I'm just glad I didn't waste a lot of money on it. I mean, I just upgraded to platinum. Just upgraded, like last month, I upgraded to platinum. And now, you know, paid for a 6-month subscription, and now they're shutting down next month. It's like, what the hell? So, I don't know if we're going to keep our podcast going come 2017, but we figure for the remainder of 2016, we'll do a PK podcast to talk about PK. David Ray wants to make his own PK. He's actually been talking about that for over a month now. He's found glitches and errors that he doesn't like about the game. And he's been talking about making a better one. And I'm like, yeah, we ain't got time for that, you know. But if there's anybody out there that listens to this podcast that might be interested in helping him, you know, and has the expertise and the skills, you know, I have a server. We can start it there. Because we build websites. My business partners and I, we build, maintain, and host websites. So we could probably host it there for starters. We would have to upgrade it later because I understand it's going to need some major, major bandwidth once it's growing. But David Ray's been talking about making his own PK. And now there's even more reason to, because there are hundreds, if not thousands, of players that are pissed off that PK is closing their doors. And they want, you know, they want somebody to adopt it. They want somebody to take over it. And somebody should. Apparently they've had offers. But maybe the offers weren't good enough. I don't know. So, I don't know. So 1 month, they're closing the doors. And I don't know, it's already been chaotic. People's already started burning my stuff. I'm hoping somebody I don't know if I'm hoping somebody takes it over. Because it really is a time waster. You know, there's other things more important to do. But I like the game. I got addicted to it. So, I don't know. I kind of have mixed feelings. I kind of hope somebody takes it over. I kind of hope it keeps going. And at the same time, I'm kind of relieved because I really was wasting too much time on the game. I don't typically play games. But This one got me addicted, you know. And before I used to be like, I don't understand why people play games. It's a time waster. It's kind of like watching TV, you know. People sit behind a TV and do nothing but waste their day away. And people do the same thing with games. And but then I found one that I got addicted to, and I pretty much did the same thing. I was less productive. But I was having fun. So one half dozen another. But yeah, for everybody else's sake, I hope somebody takes it over. Because there's people that's been blah, blah, blah. There's people that's been playing for like 8 years. It's like crazy. I mean, my friends that I met in the game, they've been playing forever. And they're bummed out too. I'm bummed. And I've just started. I'm still a noob. I've only been playing for 127 days. But yeah, 5 messages, 1 kingdom message, 2 events, 2 personal messages, probably somebody burning my stuff again. Oh, it's Wagon Burner, the other guy that I met through the game. So I'll send him a message, but, events. Okay, nobody's burning my stuff. This one guy, Psycho Impose. Anyways, he started burning my stuff. And, let's see here. Let's not the message. Where is it? Sent him a reply. Said, and let the burning begin. Ah, here it is. Psycho Impos has started burning your buoys on fire. This is an automated message. Psycho Impos is destroying your buoy, has destroyed your buoy. This is an automatic message. So I responded, and let the burning begin. He responded, LOL. I said, last week, actually yesterday, I would have hunted you down with my 9 friends, LOL. He says, yeah, the chaos has begun. And I figured as much, you know, since PK announced they're going to shut everything down, I figured people's going to start burning, raiding, destroying everything, you know. It's like, why? Why not? You know? Fuck it. So I haven't really been playing all that much because I already know all the evil players on there are going to be just having a heyday. It's just going to be one free-for-all war. You know, everybody for themselves. So I kind of went to my remote location that I want to preserve and just kind of been building up the infrastructure there just in case somebody does buy it and just in case they do continue it. You know, I'll still have the infrastructure that is important to me. And I'll protect it the best that I can. I got very powerful friends. If it's still there in a month, it's still there in a month. If it's not, then it's not. But anyways, so I advertised to him the Demented Dungeons and Dragons.com. And then Christy, the only thing he heard, he only listened to the first podcast, which I put the announcement that PK is closing on my podcast, our podcast, whatever. But he didn't listen to the one prior, so I'm recording this one also today to let you guys know that tomorrow, you know, we're actually doing a podcast, so you want to call in. Call in. You can actually, if you click on the podcast name, it'll take you to the podcast page. So you go to DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. You're listening to the podcast. Like, for example, the first one there right now is Parallel Kingdom, PK, Farewell, 2016, September 30th. If you click on that, it'll take you to the podcast page, and there it gives you the information. If you're overseas, you can log in on your computer through, you know, you can read this and follow the steps. You can log in with the computer and you can actually join us online. And we may start our podcast earlier than 8 o'clock, but our podcast is scheduled for 8 o'clock Central Time, Sunday. But since this may become something popular, we may have a lot of people call in. We may start it earlier. We may start it at 7 o'clock. If people call in, we'll start it at 7 o'clock. Change the times. Because there's a lot of people that want to say something about, you know, Parallel Kingdoms closing their doors. You know, I mean, it's one thing to, what we thought they were going to do, we thought they were going to just shut off support and let it slowly die out, which is what would have been better, you know? But they pretty much already did that, apparently. They only supported, like, there's a list. I looked it up because I was having problems, and I Googled stuff. And there's, like, five things that they address, and it's the only five things they address. Like, if you paid for something and you didn't get it, with physical fiat New World Order money, and or if you got locked out of the game, which that was what happened to me. I was a paying customer, and I got locked out of the game. So I contacted them, and so they said nothing's wrong with my character, blah, 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 nothing that they can see. But then when they ran their updates, I ended up getting logged back in. So who knows what the problem was. But I'm an IT guy, so I somewhat understood, you know. I understood more after than I did before. I was a little frustrated before. So yeah, they basically just quit really supporting it. And I guess it depends on what kind of activity is going on for it to crash. Because, like I said, there was some major wars going on in Parallel Kingdom between a few kingdoms. And it was slowing the server down. And I guess that war freaked PK out, and they were afraid that the server would go down and stay down because that was what they said in the announcement. They decided to shut it down because they're afraid that one of these days it's going to go down for good. And, yeah. So I guess their birthday is around Halloween. That's when they first started it. And so they're shutting it down basically at about their anniversary date, which I would have let it ride at least till the end of the year. Give people a few more months to play the game instead of just 1 month, 30 days. Come on, you know, that's crazy. Because like I said, I just started and I just upgraded. I mean, 6 months. I paid for a 6-month subscription. If you're going to shut the game off, at least give it 6 months for people who paid for a 6-month subscription, right? I don't know. They're not doing that. So that kind of pisses me off. I'm a little depressed about it. I'm barely even playing the game now, which is probably a good thing because, like I said, there's other things. I got one website that's just got 22 glitches that I need to fix, and I haven't really been focusing on that. And David Ray is calling me, so I'm going to click him in. Hang on a second. Welcome to the DD&D podcast, DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. This call is being recorded.
Your new voice message.
I'm basically recording an introduction to the farewell of the Parallel Kingdoms whatever podcast. For the kind of like a prelude for tomorrow.
Right. So I better not be late to the phone call.
Yeah, I'm thinking about starting it at 7 instead of 8, but we'll start it at 8 tomorrow. Well, maybe we could start it at like 7:30 or 9:45, and then people could call in. But if people do call in and it becomes popular, then, you know, we can start it earlier.
Right, you know.
But we'll probably only do it till the end of the year unless somebody does adopt PPA and keep it going.
Well, we could do the PK podcast after PK is long dead and discuss games of similar nature.
Or we can do that. I mean, you know, if it keeps going, it keeps going. But if nobody calls in, if it dies out like our previous podcast kind of died out, then I'm not going to continue it. I'm just going to let it run.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, so if we get callers, then it's good. Well,
yeah.
We get callers and we can start advertising. We start advertising, you bring in money, we can hire programmers. Start putting the game together.
That's it.
And then we can have people play the game for free as beta testers.
There you go.
You know, beta testers want it. Did you love PK?
Yeah.
Beta test this piece of crap.
Well, you know, the thing of it is PK was a very primitive game compared to some of the other new advanced games.
Oh, it still is.
But people loved it. People were addicted to it. And I don't understand how you couldn't keep something so simple still running in a high digital complex world.
Yeah, I don't really see a problem with creating the game again. All right. Granted, they probably put a lot of add-ons. I mean, every creature you add probably increases the amount of, you know, bandwidth. And they probably handled monsters wrong, because I noticed that monsters do interaction even though you're not there.
Right.
Which is a lot of server time. All right. If you're going to have that, let the player's computer do it.
Well, yeah, because the monsters fight each other. So you get to find free stuff when you're wandering through certain areas.
Oh, by the way, my newest discovery, if you run into a band of boars, don't kill them.
Okay.
Wander over them while you're non-aggressive. All right, eventually you're going to end up killing them, but, you know, wander them while you're non-aggressive. They'll all attack you once. All right? Make sure you don't skip to your next flag unless you're standing next to it already. All right? They will then follow you. They will fight everything while you're non-aggressive.
Ah, kind of like crawlers.
Yeah. Yeah, they become crawlers. But they don't fight you anymore. They don't slow you down anymore.
Oh,
and they're kill crawlers. They'll actively seek out and kill crawlers that come anywhere near you.
Cool.
I mean, it's funny watching them. I had as many as 20 follow me at one point. And they didn't care. Trodden, troll, kill it. The best are when you find a band of epics. They last a long time. I would even build a tree just to heal them.
Now, will they follow you if you warp, or do you have to go from flag to flag to flag next to each other?
They don't exactly follow you when you warp, but if you're standing next to the flag that you warp to, they'll keep following you.
Okay. So they don't follow you like crawlers do, but they will follow you from if you're walking across the territory.
Yeah. If you warp more than one flag, though, you lost them. You got to go back and get them.
Right.
Which means you have to get attacked again. And if there's a lot of them, they could kill you.
Right.
You know, they all get their one bite each, but, you know, plant your seedling, stand on it, get healed up, let some bite you, get healed up, let some more bite you, get healed up. You know, pretty neat.
You can get a pet boar in the game somehow, but I don't know how.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to find a boar egg.
Yeah, right. I guess you got to find a pet parasite and let it grow into a boar.
Yeah, right.
Well, pork has parasites, right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Something like that.
Oh, maybe those silkworms will turn into boars.
Yep. Okay. I figured out some of the details of what you can do about violent characters. I mean, there's characters that are going to want to be violent in the first place, and they're going to break the rules and stuff like that. I figured out a way to make it difficult on them.
Okay.
Without making it to the point where they'd actually want to quit. All right?
Yeah, because we don't like...
We don't necessarily want them to quit, but we just want to make it, you know, we don't want it to be easy to be bad.
Right, we don't want to encourage that kind of behavior.
Yeah. Basically, they get marked without them seeing the mark. Might not even have the player see it, but you just make it easier to find them. You know, you're wandering around, suddenly you see this character is outside your field of the vision. All right? The more bad they are, the further they can be seen.
Well, yeah, but we'd have to figure out how we'd have to make sure that it marked them if they only destroyed active player stuff, because if they're burning and destroying and raiding inactive players, we wouldn't want them to get marked.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, understandable.
Okay.
You know, well, and then there's this. There's players who had huge amounts of territory.
Oh, yeah. Hundreds of thousands of bags.
They didn't use it. I mean, that's as bad as in the real world, people owning thousands and thousands and thousands of acres and then hiring slaves to work it, right? That'd be kind of a bad boy characteristic, but we wouldn't want to mark them as bad boys. We'd want to put a clock on their flags.
Well, what I would do...
You wouldn't see the clock, but the flag would slowly deteriorate over time. And if you didn't visit it, and all you had to do to repair it would be visit it. In other words, you're using the territory.
Oh, okay. Well, what I was thinking was just have it designed to where monsters attack flags a little more often. So people were busy taking care of their property against monsters instead of evil players. Or, you know, instead of being evil players and worrying about going out and destroying other people's property, they're busy maintaining their own property from monsters.
Okay.
And then in that way, if they want a gazillion flags, then they'll be busy maintaining them.
Yeah. Yep. And the same thing would go for any other building, territory, whatever you got. Period. Right.
Right. I do like the fact that you can repair your friend's flags and stuff like that.
Right. And I'm not sure we'd use flags per se, but, you know,
Now, yeah. If Parallel Kingdom is letting it go, then they're probably letting go. I don't know the legal ramifications of this, but if they let it go,
they're probably not going to let go of the look and feel of their game.
Right, but after so much time, they're not going to care about the intellectual property rights of the game anymore if they're going to abandon it. They got other things that they're going to be, they're advancing to. They got other things that they think are more important. If this game's not important enough for them to maintain or even sell, then they just don't care.
Right.
More than likely. I mean, we wouldn't steal all their ideas or anything. But who knows?
I mean, what's there really to steal? All right? If we use...
Well, here's the other thing, too.
How many games use flags? How many games use flags to mark their territory?
A lot. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a big gamer anymore. It's been a decade or more since I've been a gamer.
Yeah. See, we might not use flags. Maybe you build a fence.
A fence?
You know?
I don't know about
it. Build fences.
How about just markers? Stone markers or something. I don't know. We'll figure it out. It's going to be a while before we can even make the game. So it's going to be a while. You know, we got plenty of time to figure that one out.
And I'm kind of inclined to use the topographical map. For one, we could eventually make it a 3D game, like Mabinugi, if you ever looked that up, or Iruna. The one I've been playing on my phone. All right.
What is it?
Iruna. Problem is, it both those games. Well, Mabinugi you can't play on an iPhone. You have to play it on a computer. But the bandwidth requirements for 3D is so great that it'd be troublesome.
Right. Okay. If people can maintain a game like World of Warcraft, why can't they maintain a game like Parallel Kingdom?
Oh, they can. Parallel Kingdom is an old school game.
Why not?
It's made. The only real difference between it and the other ones is they use GPS technology and they use Google Maps. All right. Well, I would use the GPS technology, and I would use a, dang it, there just went a mouse, and the cats didn't even see it. Anyway, we need more cats. Those boogers need to be hungrier. Talking about, you need to go feed them. Anyway, I use topographical maps. Showing land elevation and where the rivers and stuff like that were. Unfortunately, they don't have anything like that strips out the roads and such. But I would use the physical terrain as my barriers and just see where cities started developing. Because if it's slower to climb the hill, then people are going to tend to go around the hills. All right? If there's a military advantage to being on top of a hill, then people tend to build their places on top of the hills. If there's a river that's too wide to cross, people will have a tendency to take advantage of that. especially if there's a cliff on it.
Right.
You know, if it's easier to attack downhill than it is to attack uphill, then people will tend to make their fortresses on riverbanks that are on top of cliffs. So when the boats come by and shoot their cannons up, they just drop their rocks down. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, just have a, in the game, have a potential enemy warning. You know?
Potential.
And somebody who's been around destroying other people's property, they'd have a high potential enemy rating. They might still make friends with people.
Yeah, bad people.
Well, they might still make friends with good people. There might be a reason why they destroyed somebody's property. I mean, Bullock and this other guy, by that criteria, they're destroying each other's property. Boom, 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 boom. Their rating would go up.
Right, because they had a war against, amongst themselves.
Right, and so there'd be a reason not to go to war right there. Better to work things out peacefully than get yourself a high enemy rating. Because now you're marked. You have a mark on your forehead.
You know, in your right hand or forehead.
Well, that Cain did. He had a mark. He had a mark placed upon him. Okay, in the game, we'll place a mark upon the bad boys.
Yeah, but right? Cain's mark was actually to protect him, not to mark him as a bad boy.
True. But it also did mark him as a potential enemy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. Yeah. And just because somebody is bad doesn't necessarily mean you automatically go and attack them. Because you'll get the same rating.
True that.
You
just
get the same rating for doing
that. Tell you to beware of that player.
Yeah. And, you know, if they had a high enough rating, a little circle with an arrow on it would pop up whenever they came within range of you.
Right.
You know. So if you had one looking in your area, you'd know it, you know.
Right.
And you'd also know when they'd been peaceful for a long time because you wouldn't see them as often because their rating would come down.
Well, we could do like, when you're in the air, it's got those little marks on the outside of the circle.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking about.
Yeah, it tells you where things are. It could tell you when a peaceful player have a peace sign and a danger sign. And then, so if there's a peaceful player nearby, it'll show the peaceful player that and what direction they are. And if there is a dangerous player nearby, it'll show you their danger symbol, and it'll show you what direction they are if they're nearby.
Right.
And in that way, when you run across them, you'll know that they're peaceful or dangerous. And then
if they're peaceful, there shouldn't really be any mark at all. Just, you know, when they're in range, you see them.
True. Yeah, because having two marks will raise the bandwidth.
Unless you have some special ability like far sight, you know, then you'd be able to see people approaching from a long ways, regardless of their peaceful or whatever. Or you threw up a beacon. Then people could see you because you threw up a beacon. But if you were peaceful, you'd show up green. And if you were not so peaceful, you'd show up yellow. And if you were violent, you'd show up red.
Red, run! Red, run!
Murder?
No, I said red, run.
Yeah, murder.
No, R-U-N. The
yeah.
Run. Oh, okay.
Nur, not mur, nerder.
Oh, nerder. Nerder. Actually, that pretty much be all the players. Nerd.
N-E-R-D-E-R. Yeah, it's really old school games of this nature are word games, literally. It's a purely text game where you're reading the text and it describes the room to you.
Right. And what I was going to say earlier was, if we're using some PK stuff and the game's successful and PK gets mad or whatever, you know, we can give them some royalties if we're successful enough.
Well, yeah, tell them we're willing to negotiate royalty rights. You know,
right.
You abandoned this game. Completely and totally. You dumped your players.
Right.
You did nothing to recreate it. All right. You know, if you were working on another game, then we need our lawyers to review the evidence. You know. That depends on if they go hostile or whatever. Keep in mind, they tend to punish. They tend to punish players. So
right.
They probably would not want, you know, they probably would punish somebody who they felt stepped on their royalties.
Even though they trashed everything.
Even though they trashed everything, yeah.
Because you throw something in the garbage. So, yeah, because they throw, you know, Now they throw their game in the garbage and it's off to the dump. Somebody goes to the dump and collects their garbage, and they're going to sue them over it.
Well, see, that's just it. You can't. Some of the obvious features of the game. All right. Can't make your characters look just like theirs did.
Correct.
All right. Can't use the same names for the monsters.
Correct.
Can't make stair steps of 5. You can't make the cutoff at 45, level 45.
I wouldn't do that anyways. I thought that was retarded.
Yeah, I understand.
I'd let them level up all the way. And I'd show what level they really are.
Can't use the term pages for experience points.
Oh, I wouldn't. Yeah, I didn't think pages was a good idea for that either.
All right.
I'd call it level or something.
Well, you call it experience points. All right. Now, everybody calls it level. All right. Okay. So,
right.
You know.
Follow the norms and not try to be too unique.
Right. You know, so basically normalize their game, but use the location-based technology.
Yeah,
I did
like that.
Yeah. Now, quite frankly, if you look up Mabinugi, there are a ton of games very similar to Mabinugi in every respect. All right. The only difference is in costume design and stuff like that.
Well,
and
yeah.
That's something else.
We can let the
when it comes to costume design, I would allow character input.
If it makes no difference what it does,
correct,
then let them design their stuff, you know, and just, you know, require a greater cost from using more pixels. You know,
oh, there you go.
So if somebody designed a costume that fit in the whole screen, it costs more than God.
Wow.
Don't put your butt in my face, you stupid cat. Dang it, how many times do I have to smack you off me? All right. I like you, but don't put your butt in my face. You're not a pretty girl and you're not my wife.
Would you still want her butt in your face?
Well, my pretty wife, I'd like her butt in my face.
Okay, anyway.
She could sit on my shoulders all day long as long as we got our work done. Anyway. Where was I? I got distracted.
You're listening to this podcast. You can call in at Sunday at 7 or 8 p.m., depending on when we decide to do it. But we're right now doing it from 8 to 9 p.m. The phone number is 563-999-2010. Once again, that's 563-999-2010. And the extension, you'll have to dial in after it asks you for the access code, is 256-012. Once again, that's 256-012. And then I think it asks you to press pound. I don't think you really have to do that. And then if you want to mute your line, you can press star 6 to mute your line or star 6 to unmute your line. And you can go to DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com to hear the podcast. And if you click on the name of each podcast, it'll open up the website to the podcast page where you can see the details about the podcast. I don't put in too many details about the podcast. Mostly I just put in, you know, information, general information on who we are, what we're doing, where to go, and how to get there. Yeah, I tell you where to go and how to get there on every page. Basically, you know, tells you the time and date and what web address to go into or what number to call to join our podcast. And we can only do, like, so many people. I think it's up to, like, 13 callers. So.
Cool.
If you can't get in, just wait a little bit. Somebody might drop off and try again, you know, say 15 minutes. But if you can't get in, you can always listen later or try and call in again next week.
All righty.
All right.
And I assume that all was recorded.
Well, that's what I told you at the beginning.
Oh, you really were recording me. Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Oh, I was about to say we shouldn't record our ideas for creating the game. But you know what? If there's a dozen Parallel Kingdoms out there, just like there's a dozen Mabinugis, right? I mean, there's only one Mabinugi, but there's a dozen games like Mabinugi. Then the more the merrier. One's going to be good. Some are going to be mediocre. Most are probably going to be bad.
Right.
But, you know, the good ones will float to the top. You know?
Well, I figure this would be, a gateway to help get people that are interested in, you know, revamping and taking PK to the next level. Interested in, you know, in coming together and doing it together.
Right. There you go.
You know, instead of, you know, like Trucker Date. I'm the original Trucker Dating site out there. And now I've got copycats who want to steal my thunder. Well, you know, why don't we just work together and make one really good website?
Because then they wouldn't have any glory.
Yeah. So anyways, I don't know.
Yeah.
So that's my philosophy, you know.
That was just the devil's argument, you know. I'm not saying that that's the right argument. I'm just saying, you know, that was the devil, you know, arguing the devil's side.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a win-win solution. You got five people, you know, wanting to do the same thing. If they work together instead of against each other, they can create something far more better.
Hello, Tort.
So, yeah. All right. So let me conclude the podcast so that we can talk about other non-podcasts or non-PK things. And then
I'm a little dense. I thought you were kidding when you said it was recording.
No. You idiot!
We're gonna die!
Oh, goodness.
Oh, my.
Be on time tomorrow. Quarter till.
A quarter till.
Yeah, I've been
quarter till 8 or quarter till 7?
Quarter till 8, Central Standard Time. Sure. I've been advertising it in the game. I'm basically using my food to buy up signs. I'm just going to advertise.
Oh, okay. So I'll try to earn that 1,000 food so I can go buy signs too. I'll even sell it to you if you know how to get signs cheap.
Yeah, and if you're listening to this podcast and you want to send me a gift, send me some signs. Somebody sent me some brass knuckles, which I'll probably never use. And just for the heck of it, I didn't even ask for a gift, but... He sent me a gift, and I told him about the podcast. He goes, yeah, I'm listening to the podcast. That's the gift. And I'm like, oh, okay. So if you want to send me a gift, send me some signs so I can advertise this last month. Because I'm really not going to use brass knuckles or I'm probably not going to use any weapons or armor.
Yeah, that's something else. You really can't see your character in Parallel Kingdom. on this particular phone, I can. I have a feature that allows me to triple tap on my screen, and then I can expand it however much I want. You know? So I can actually take a look at my character. All right, I got to tell you, there's not much to be seen. I mean, yeah, you can see the nice triangular fangs on the trolls when you do that, but you know it's.
I can't triple tap on my phone and see my, but I can see my character's pretty good. I don't know why you can't see yours.
Because it's just too small. Honestly, the trolls look sort of like Travolta to me. They expand on them, and they got fangs. You know, but, you know, when they're small, it just looks like, you know, somebody has it in for Travolta.
Hey, so we can make the trolls look like you.
Yeah! Yeah! And then when the girls see me on the street, they say, you look familiar. You're the troll! Which is usually a bad thing on the internet. You don't want to be a troll on the internet.
Right, unless you got troll lore, then you like trolls.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to think of making me some other creature, because, you know, trolls are typically not helpful critters, you know, in most mythologies, so that was another feature of Parallel Kingdom that's, you know, a Parallel Kingdom feature.
Right. Yeah, we'll do something that is Something that
and there's, you know, I don't know how much Parallel Kingdom did this, but I like what Ingress did. You know, granted, it doesn't do me much good out here in the country, but it's, God, the neighbor's goat is testing my fencing something awful. It's going to eventually break into that little yard.
We'll tie it up where it can't.
Yeah, I might have to.
Put it in with Grandpa. Grandpa will whoop him into shape.
Grandpa is the one I want breeding the goats. If I put him in with Grandpa, then he can't be breeding.
True, but it's just temporary.
Have
you heard from Jeff?
Yeah, last night he said he was going to come here this morning.
Oh, okay.
So I told him he's not here yet.
Did you figure out how his goat got out?
No, I went and looked. His doe is still there.
He left his woman for your women.
Yes, yes, he did. He left his woman, his pregnant wife, pregnant by another father, though, to come check out my goat's wives, who are apparently in heat, or he wouldn't be so antsy to get at them.
Right.
Anyway, I definitely do not want any boar mixed with my goats in any way, shape, or form. So, anyway, this is not PK talk. It may be interesting to the PK listeners. And that might be a unique feature of our game. We have goats.
We make it with farm animals instead of...
Well, yeah, we would. You know, and when they get diseased, they would become monstrous.
Well, there you go.
And you have to cure the disease. It's like I told you, my goal for the game is actually social engineering. All right? You know, you don't like the fact that bad boys get away with crap in the game, all right? I want to encourage good behavior in real life, all right? I want to teach people things that, yeah, apparently right now Cleopatra's in heat. She's got three males fighting over her. Only two can get at her.
We only want one to get at her.
This is true. And Grandpa, as you call him, isn't really all that old. He's doing a good job of keeping the young one off.
Okay, cool.
All right. But I do eventually want to have three or four fields so that I can...
She's the mother of the young one, right?
Yes, she is.
Right.
They're goats. They don't care.
Well, there's humans that don't care either, but...
I understand.
And cats and dogs that don't care.
Yep, yep. And with as many kittens as we got, we're going to have that kind of activity going on with the cats. Anyway. Yeah.
Sisters. Incest is best when you keep it in the family.
Yeah, I'd prefer you not say such things on a recorded podcast. People will think that's my attitude, too.
It's just a joke.
I know that, but still, it's kind of disgusting. Yeah, people, if you talk to me long enough, you'll find out I'm a bit of a prude.
I am too. I'm just not as prudish as he is.
Oh my. Anyway.
I'm tending trees right now. I'm going to use that Christmas decoration that somebody gave me for trees around my cabin.
Yeah, I took Doc Harry because there was no activity going on in the market at the time. I took Doc Harry and stuck him in his house. He's waiting for Armageddon.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Horned goat and unhorned goat are going at it through the fencing. And, well, Ice is the name I went with, the white, young white male. He successfully rammed the neighbor's red buck, and he had to shake it off.
Nice.
But he's doing most of the fighting with the other one.
I guess we can have a big snowball fight at the kingdom.
Oh, boy, I just sold off most of my snowballs to make room in my backpack.
You idiot! Jessica, I've got 3,114 snowballs.
Holy smokes, you had about the same as what I had before I sold them. Hey, at 10 gold apiece, that was a chunk of pocket change. Which I promptly sold on the market for food.
I can't tell them. I'd be buying that snowballs. Like,
yeah, you can't sell them. Oh, well, actually, you can do that, but you have to do it as a private sale.
Right.
So you get on Trade Chat and say, buying snowballs. You know?
Well, that'd be cool, too. In the winter, you can't... you know, maybe have some sort of a snowball fight fest where 1 week out of the month or something, it's just a free-for-all snowball fight.
Right. Now, you just reminded me. Okay, what I liked about Ingress is that it keeps track. It uses phone usage data for determining where the power points are in the game. All right, yeah, I'm not using the right terms, but, you know. We could use other external data, like any place where we're getting data for river flow. Okay? You know, so when they're reporting, you know, the height of this river or whatever, we can have the game tap into that information and use that to generate when critters show up. So maybe there's a certain monster that only pops up when in real life there's a flood. And it's shown up on the USGS site, whatever, you know. I don't know where you'd go for worldwide information on that, but you know what I'm saying. Hi, Slick. Are you saying it's time for me to feed you guys? Yeah. Well, as soon as I'm done with the podcast. Talking of which, I should check the charge of my phone. Oh, shit. The charge on my phone is 42%. It started at 45. I dug up your old charger, the black one that used to be in the car.
Yeah.
All right. People, if you're having trouble with your phone charging, there's this beautiful article that tells you 12 ways that you might improve your phone charging. All right, I'll have to look up the exact title of the article, but I got to tell you, it was very helpful because I stopped at a store and they told me, oh, it's because you're running your hotspot. Well, that makes sense, but that was bullshit. All right? The only way I was able to get on the internet was to turn on the hotspot on my phone and then shut off the screen while it was charging. And it would slowly charge the battery while I was doing that. And then use my other device to use the Wi-Fi, you know, use the hotspot as the internet source, and then cruise the net on that and play the game for that matter, which I'm not supposed to mention on the podcast, but, you know, hey, if they kick me out now, who cares?
Right. Yeah.
Anyway.
The game's over, so who cares if you have an alt?
Yeah, so, you know, they, you know, hey, people, start creating alts. Maybe they'll change their mind when they see the population increase in the game. Like, whoa, dumping this game would be a bad idea.
I don't know. They'll probably still dump it.
Yeah. Anyway. This beautiful article, one of the things it suggests is a program called Ampere. And I use that to find out that my charger that supposedly puts out 2.1 amps is putting out about a third of an amp. And one of the outlets isn't even working. Okay. Now, whether it's because the cable I'm using is bad or not, I haven't figured out, but I was playing around with it. I found out that the 1-amp output on Kano's old charger for the car is actually putting out about 6/10 of an amp, which is better than the 2.1 amp outlet, which is only putting out a third of an amp. In other words, just because it says it's 2.1 doesn't necessarily mean it's putting out 2.1. As a matter of fact, it seems like all the 2.1s are only putting out about a third of an amp. So it's a good program to get. Whether it's accurate or not, doesn't matter. It gives you a basis of reference. You can find out which is the best charger for your phone.
Yep.
So I will be switching out cables and checking them out and seeing if some cables work better than others, because I'm sure they do. So.
What's the name of that app again?
Ampere.
A-M-P.
Hold on. Got it running right now. I'll pull it up. A-M-P-E-R-E. It has. Oops. Well, I can't see it from inside the program. Okay. Its emblem looks sort of like a Skype out emblem. It's, you know, it's a round circle with two little nubs sticking out at a 45-degree angle. It has a big white A in the middle of it.
Okay.
All right.
I can get that myself.
Yeah. Now, there might be other such programs, all right, but, you know, with similar names, check them out. This is the first one I've ever gotten, you know, so there's probably better ones, you know. But this one lets, you know, tells you about your battery and reports whether it's in good health or not. Says mine's in excellent health, so it's not the battery. So it might be the phone itself that's bad. You know, the charging system on the phone itself might be bad. You know.
It's the nut behind the wheel.
Could be. But, you know, it helped me confirm, you know, some of my problems.
I'm just kidding. It's a nut behind a cigarette lighter.
Yeah. Yeah, in this case. Anyway. Nice program. So, matter of fact, let me see what it's telling me right now. It's, well, okay. While it was in the background, it basically wasn't doing anything. Now it's measuring again. Oh, that's not good. Telling me this outlet's only giving me 300 milliamps, which is about a third of an amp, a little bit less, actually.
What's
the nice thing, though, Okay, so the 2.1 amp is now giving me 370 amps going up and down a little bit. So between 340
and 380. Yeah.
There we go, back up to 620, 560 milliamps. Oh, see, now some of that could be because my phone is telling it at what rate to accept charge at. So if there's a program out there that will actually control your charge rate, because I noticed on my Galaxy 3, sadly, I can't find the name of the program because it runs when your phone is in standby mode, basically. It's kind of the gateway to turning on my phone. I have to type in my code, and you know, and then it gives me access to my phone. Yes, I'm a dummy. I don't know the name of that program. But it has in it a feature that controls charge rate. And when your battery's really low, it'll do accelerated charging. And I'm willing to bet that that program would probably fix my issues. So, yeah. I really didn't like walking into a store and them telling me, oh, you're running too many programs, and that's why your battery's dying all the time. It's like, well, tell me this. How come when I shut my phone off, put it on the charger overnight, and then come back in the morning, it's still at 1%? You're running too many programs.
Yeah. Why are you running so many programs while your phone is shut off?
It's like, yeah, they just don't hear you. They don't hear you when you're talking to them, these technicians.
Do you not understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Yeah, and, you know, it's like,
Okay, I'm done tending trees.
All right. See, I do have things to talk to you about when we get done with the podcast, and I do have fencing to go work on, like now.
Okay. Well, let me conclude the podcast. Let's see if I can actually shut the podcast off while talking on the phone. This phone does not like to allow me to... It does... Oh, no, yeah, it won't let me end the other call.
Now, just for my benefit, that is the same number we always use, right?
The number I gave out is the caller number, but,
our
number is different, and, yeah, it's the same number that we've been using.
Right. Okay. And I'll discuss other issues concerning that later. Okay. Very good.
So, Sunday at 8 p.m. Central, or maybe even earlier, we're going to call in. We're going to start tomorrow 15 minutes early. At DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, you can find the call-in information. Click on the name of the podcast, which is usually just D&D podcast, and then the date. Click on that. It'll take you to the podcast page where it gives you the details on where to go and how to get there. And see you Sunday at 8, if not earlier. All right. Thank you so much. And I'll call you back, David.
Love you. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Not you. The listeners.